Good evening. I want to thank God for the opportunity that we have to come together tonight that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. Good to see all of you. And I thank all of you for your hospitality. Brother asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm doing just great. God have blessed me to be here. And I want to thank the brother and sister for the food that she's feeding me today. I really enjoyed my lunch. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed the fellowship that we had. And brothers and sisters, I'm enjoying my time here with you all. I've been knowing most of you for a long time, and I really appreciate all of you. And I want to thank the elders and brethren for the work that you all are doing. Y'all are doing a great job. Brethren, I can't think of no work greater than preaching God's word. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I'm preaching the unsearchable richness of Christ. Brethren, what Christ offers you, you can't get no place else. And Paul says, he thought thanking God for being able to preach the unsearchable richness of Christ. And I want to thank all of you for coming tonight and being with us. Brother Fred, I see him sitting there looking well tonight. I had been looking for him and missing him after reading and mentioning it. All right, to thank all of you for coming and being here. And I thank Brother Don and his good wife for the work that they are doing. I thank the brother for the good prayer tonight. And brother, what I'm going to talk about tonight is I want to talk about, if you want to give it a subject, what we lost in Adam. Think of it. We gain in Christ. What we lost in Adam. Now I'm going to tell you all a little bit, and to keep from taking up too much time, I'm going to tell you something about what happened to Adam, why we lost it in Adam. All of you know that God created everything, created the universe. You all know about when He created man. He placed him in the Garden of Eden, and He didn't find no mate for him, nobody that was compatible to him. And God taking a rib and He made Miss Eve. He presented it to Adam. God placed him in the Garden of Eden. They placed him there. Everything Adam needed, everything he and his wife needed was there. God placed them there. And then when you get on down in Genesis about chapter 3 somewhere, you'll find the devil appeared. And the devil asked the woman a question. He said, did God tell you? You couldn't eat of that tree. It sounded like the devil already knew it, didn't he? And then she quoted, God said we could eat of all of the trees in the midst of the garden, but the one over there, He said, the day we eat of it or touch it, we'll die. And the devil, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. Y'all know the story as well as Brother James. He said, the Lord knows that tree in the midst of the garden, that tree he gave you a commandment not to eat, that you will be like God. And the Bible says that tree was good for food. It looked good. And every time I preach and talk about that, Brother Wright, I had a sister got in my face one time and said the tree was not food, tree of food. I said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing, sis. The Bible says she saw the tree was good for food and that she ate. The devil wanted to know, did he tell you not to eat of that? Talking to the woman. She said, yes, 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 yes. She ate, and the Bible says she gave it to her husband, to Adam, and he ate. Adam ate. And then what happened? Okay. All right. Thank you. They're trying to get me wide up here. Now, she ate, gave it to her husband. He ate. The eyes was open. They made themselves some clothes. They dressed themselves. They saw that they was unclothed. And they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. And when they heard that, look about verse 9, they went and hid themselves. And God asked the question, where are thou? Maybe some of us ought to maybe ask that question tonight. Where am I? God asked him, where are thou? He told him that he was unclothed and he went and hid himself. God asked him a question. Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? Adam, in order to justify himself, Adam said, Lord, that woman you gave me, gave it to me and I ate. But other places in the Bible, especially in the book of Timothy, the Bible put a curse on all of them. God told the woman, you are cursed. He put a curse on the serpent. And he put a curse on Adam. But he told Adam, he told Timothy, Paul told Timothy, Adam was not deceived, the woman was. He deceived the woman. And y'all know something else? The devil never even spoke to Adam. Brethren, if you ever go to a sales school, I'm going to tell you what they tell you. They learned something. Who did the devil talk to? The wife. Adam was standing right there by. He never said, Mr. Adam, how are you this morning? he talked to the woman. And you know what they tell you when you go to school, brethren? If you want to sell an item, if you can get that woman in your corner on that, you got to add them sold. Now, y'all take that to the bank with you. If that woman said, if that wife said, I want that automobile, the man might go home and tell his brothers and sisters and his friends and neighbors, I didn't like it, but she did. Now, I didn't experience this, brother. I bought a car in 2011. My wife is living, she's been dead about going on 7 years now. But I went down to the car company and I told her, I says, honey, I like the car, but I don't like the color of it. She says, I love that color. She says, I love the color I see. That's what I want. I said, well, I ain't buying that one because I don't like the color. I went on back in the dealership. I sit there. I thought about it, Brother Wright. Then finally she come back. She said, you're not going to buy that for me? And guess what? I caved in. So, brothers and sisters, the devil never even spoke to Adam. And God says Adam was not deceived, but the woman was. God put them all under a curse. God told Adam, you're going to make a living from the sweat of your brow. He told the lady that I'm putting you under a curse too. You are under a curse. And that's one of the reasons why God put woman in submission to man. Now, what did Adam do? What did the woman do? The Bible says she violated God's commandment. 1 John 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, he that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God. That's 2 John 9. But the Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 4, go and look at it that way. He says, sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4, and 2 John 9, I quoted that a minute ago. The Bible says, if you go beyond the word of God, you have not God. Somebody asked me sometime, Brother James, what's wrong with wearing that name? Because there's no Bible for it. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. What's wrong with calling a church another name? Sometimes folks ask me, Brother James, I want to come by your church. You know what I tell them? I don't have one. I don't have a church. I go to the church of Christ. When Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I build my church, that word my is a personal pronoun, that tells me the ownership of the church. Now, 1 John 3 and verse 4, he that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ sin is the transgression of God's law. 2 John 9, if we go beyond God's word, brethren, if you think of God's word in that circle, you go beyond that. And the Bible says you don't have God. Adam and Eve went beyond what God had instructed them. They went beyond it. Somebody says sometimes, well, why don't y'all have a musical instrument? I had a Hungarian man one time that lived next door to the church on Gray Street. And he come to church every Sunday. But he never obeyed the gospel. And he waited for me one day till I was by myself. And when I got out of my car, he was waiting on me. He said, Brother James, I want to tell you something. I said, what is it, brother? He said, I want to make a donation to the church. I waited to see what else he's going to say. He says, I see you don't have no musical instrument. And I know them things are high. But I'm going to give you the money to buy it. And I told him, I said, that's not the reason we don't have it. He said, well, why don't you have it? I said, well, there's no Bible for it. There's none. That's why we don't have a lot of things other people have. There's no Bible. What got Adam and Eve in trouble was, what did they do? They transgressed God's law. When you break God's law, brethren, you're in trouble. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says it separates us from God. It breaks our fellowship with God. And I used to wonder about it. The Bible, God told them, the day you eat of that tree, you should surely die. And you know something? I wondered about that when I was growing up as a child. God said, the day that I eat of that tree, I would die. But I didn't understand that there's spiritual death and physical death. Spiritual death and physical death. Brethren, they did die that day. They died that very day that they ate of that tree. How did they die? They died a spiritual death. Brethren, if you got your Bibles open there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, brethren, and look at some here. And read verse, and you who made, you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. What? He's talking about those folks that obeyed the gospel. You who he made alive, who were dead. What kind of death is he talking about? Spiritual death. They were separated from God. Now, brethren, all the time, a lot of time we read John 5, verses 29 and 30. The Bible talks about all you in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. But what about verse 25? Verse 25 is a resurrection too. But it's a spiritual resurrection. It talks about, when you look at that scripture, it tells you that the resurrection that's talked about there is one that you are raised from the bed of sin. That's right. That's what it's talked about there. John chapter 5, verse 25. Let me see, can I find that right quick here? In John chapter 5, it's verse 25. I want that scripture read. Note this, brethren, what it says here. In verse 25. John chapter 5 and verse 25, it says. They said, it's most assuredly, and now is, the hour is coming. That's something coming in the future, Jesus said. And now is, when the dead will hear his voice, and of the Son of God, and those things, those who hear, will live. What kind of death is he talking? That's 1 in 5, 25, 1, 28, and 9. Those that hear the word of God. That hear the word of God and obeys the gospel. You're raised from a bed of sin. And when he talked about that in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sin. And now, let me tell you this. What I'm talking about tonight is, not only did Adam destroy Seth, but he killed all of us. We didn't inherit Adam's sin. But you know what? He introduced sin to the Word. And the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There never was a perfect individual. There never was a person that could say that I have lived in this world and I have never sinned. Only one could do that was Jesus Christ. The only one. Y'all heard me talk about Plan 2 one night. Y'all heard me talk about that. Brethren, if it wasn't for Plan 2, I was talking to my brother one time, and he said, James, if it wasn't for Plan 2, not a one of us could ever go to heaven. And I said it tonight. Plan 1 is when you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Plan 2 is what you've done before you left home today. Plan 2 is what you'll do tonight when you go home. Plan 2 will do the same thing for a Christian that Plan 1 will do for an alien sinner. What did Paul tell Simon? Acts 8. Repent, pray, confess your sin, and God will forgive you. John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he will forgive you of it. Now, let me tell you this on Plan 2. Repentance, confession, and prayer. Plan 2 will do the same thing for you that Plan 1 done for you when you obeyed the Gospels for an alien sinner. Plan 2. Plan 2. Don't be ashamed of you, Plan 2. Plan 2 is just as essential as Plan 1 was. Don't be ashamed of you, Plan 2. But what Adam, let me tell you what you lost in Adam. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. On your fingers, put it on there, you lost your life. You lost your life. Before Adam sinned, him and Miss Eve, there was no cemetery. There wouldn't have never been one. You lost your life, your physical life, and your spiritual life too. You lost it. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible said, told Adam, you're going back to the dust from which you were taken. And the soul is going back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, I believe. Now listen, brethren. You lost your life. Every one of us can testify to one thing. We have lost people that we loved. That's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Paul said, be not ignorant, as some men count, be not ignorant of this one thing. Those that died in Jesus, don't be troubled by it. Because, brethren, Jesus is coming back. And he said in that context, that those of us that's asleep in Jesus will meet him. But you know one thing? All of us have had a lot to be unhappy about. I told y'all I preached 7 funerals last year. Every one of those people was sad. They was crying. They was folks that was dear to them. The death will step in and take a mother out of a home. It'll take a father out. It'll take a brother. It'll take a sister. Death will step in and take away a main daughter, son. That's death for you. Death has no respect to person. What did you lose in Adam and Eve? You lost your life. I'm going to tell you how to get it back, though. You lost your life. What else did you lose? You lost the joy of living. The joy of living. You never had a gray hair. You never would have had one. You never would have aged a drop. You was in the Garden of Eden. Why, everything that you needed was supplied. You was in there. And so many word brothers and sisters, you had it made. You had it made. Adam was in there. But you know what the curse was? God driven him out of God. And the Bible says God was keeping him away from the tree of life. Because if he got to that, he'd live forever. God driven him out and told him, from now on, Adam, you're going to make your living by the sweat of your brow. All of the things that you suffer with now, come on, because of the curse. You're under that curse. When you get up to go to work in the morning, think of one somebody. Had Eve not ate that, had listened to that devil. Had Eve and Adam not ate that forbidden fruit, none of you would have to go to work in the morning. Remember that. You wouldn't have to go to work. You wouldn't have to. But brethren, what is it? God supplied everything that you needed. But when he's driven you out of the garden and closed that gate, you was in trouble. You was in trouble. That's right. Cain and Abel, the first two children born by natural birth. One killed the other one. There never was a graveyard. There never was a cemetery. But what happened? As part of the curse. When you go to work in the morning, and those of us that have pain, have sickness, those of us when we go by the cemetery to visit our parents, our grandparents, and leave flowers, just to remember, this is part of the curse, and it show you what sin is. The Bible says sin is the transgression of God's law. That's right what it is. In other words, it cuts us off from God. God, that sin breaks a line between us and God. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. God's Old Testament, somebody said, well, you get forgiven. There never was a sin forgiven under the Old Testament. Believe that? Hebrews chapter 10. Paul said it's impossible for the blood of bull and goat to cleanse sin. There never was a sin. But anyway, God gave you some things to do. And it's just like paying interest on a debt. It just moved it ahead. If you've done something wrong, every year you had to confess that sin. But what is the cause of it? It's because Adam and Eve. Now let me tell you something else. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Look at that. The Bible talked about it. The Bible talked about it in Romans 5 verse 8 and 9. But it also said in Romans 8, in Christ there is no condemnation in Christ. None. None. Brother and I was one time over at a church, denominational church, and cross time. I had some people there that had all of their family, mostly, was in denominationalism. But Sister Pearline, and they had a funeral. I didn't have nothing to do with it. But they had a funeral in a denominational church. And so I went. But they was very respectful of me. They come to me and they told me. They said, Brother James, says, I want you to say something. I said, well, what I'm going to say, she was a member of the Church of Christ. She was in Christ. I went through that. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you this. Where is the gospel good news? Two Wednesday nights ago, I told them all, I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come back the next Wednesday night, and I want you to tell me why is the gospel called a good news. And you know what most of the questions was about? It's because God has set before us some things. He has set before us eternal life and eternal condemnation. And He give us a choice. He give us a choice. He give us a choice. Now, I want to tell you why I'm so appreciative of the blood of Christ. I made note this morning about the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You were not, that's what you were redeemed with. And Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Paul says this. Paul says, your redemption was in the blood. What do the word redemption mean? Ephesians 1 verse 7, read it sometime. It means to buy back. To buy back. You were not born in a state of condemnation. Adam introduced sin to the world, but you went astray by committing a sin yourself. He says, 1 John 3 and verse 4, that you have committed that sin, and that's what condemns you. Now, how did you can be regained in Christ? Ephesians 1 and verse 7, 1 Revelation 1 and verse 5, say you've been washed from your sin in His blood. Now, brethren, the church, the body of Christ. Christ came and died for us. Acts 20 and verse 20, he said, the church that he purchased with his own blood. The church that wears his name. The church that tells you that you, when you're in it, that you're saved. In Acts 2 and verse 36, when Peter preached that first sermon, Peter said, let all the household of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus that you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And they said, ask him in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to know, Lord, what we got to do now in order to rid ourselves, to have forgiveness of the sin. And what did Peter tell him to do? Says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Now, brethren, I want to ask you something. Do all of you know and understand surely that God will forgive you for it? What you lost in Adam. What you lost in Adam and his family, you can regain it in Christ. The Bible tells us that we can learn also in that we can become citizens of the kingdom. We can become children of God. Galatians 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, well, men, if you've been baptized into Christ, the Bible says you can be children of God. Brethren, we can find that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. Into the church. Where's Christ at? Christ is in the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, Christ is here in the church and the Savior of the body. Now, brethren, a number of things happen. I might have told you this last night when you become a member of the church. One of the things that happen, you become a washed person. Your sins have been washed away in the blood. Acts 22:16. The second thing happened, you become a child of God. You're no longer foreigners, strangers. But you're a fellow citizen of the household of God. You become a child of God. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 and verse 17. The second thing it is, brethren, when you become a Christian, God gives you a set of keys. I told you about that. Revelation 22 and verse 14. The Bible says that you may enter in through the gate into that city. Romans 14 and verse 13. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. Brethren, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that I might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So I want to thank y'all. I've been talking too long already. I want to thank y'all for everything. But I want you to know one thing. What the devil have done for you, what you lost in Adam, you can regain all of those things in Christ. In Christ. But what have you got to do? You got to obey the gospel. Hebrews chapter 5. The Bible says God is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey Him. That's where it's at. Acts 2 and verse 41 said they gladly received his word and were baptized. Were baptized. Brethren, that's where it's at. Romans chapter 7 says, when you become a Christian, you marry Christ. Now, sometime I preach a lesson on, brethren, if you're single, you can't go to heaven. You're single, you can't go to heaven. You got to marry Christ. Now, let me tell y'all something that had, they say, happened a long time ago. The reason why I made that statement. A country preacher was preaching way down south. Hot weather, they had them tent meeting. And this one older lady living back there in a real rural area. She went to a tent meeting and was baptized. Was baptized. Well, I like to baptize folks right away. But they couldn't do it down there. The conveniency and everything, it wasn't quite right for it. And they said, we're going to start baptizing any morning early. And the way they done that, a man would wade out in the water, old sluey looking water in a pond or something. And they would hold that rope, and people would walk on that, catch that rope. And one man would be over there and one be over there. But this one old lady come down through there. And the preacher was there. Everybody was there. And she was dressed up in a pretty white suit. I mean it was pretty. She had on all of them wedding clothes that she married her first husband in. And all of the folks start hollering. Go home. Change them clothes. That water is muddy. Don't wear that pretty white suit out there. So that old lady stood there and looked at him. And when they stopped talking, she started. She says, I want to tell you something. I married my husband in that pretty white suit. That's the suit I wore. Says, I married him in that. She said, but I'm aware today because I'm a married one greater than him. I'm marrying Jesus Christ. Said, nobody else opened their mouth. She says, I'm marrying one today greater than the one I married the first time. She was talking about what Romans 7 says. When we get married, when we obey the gospel, we marry Christ. You can't go to heaven single. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, the Bible says you must have faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. But if you have obeyed it and you need to obey a plan, you've done something since you become a child of God. If there's anything that's going to give you gate trouble when you get there, something that you would like to get rid of, use plan 2. Come on up and make that good. Repent. Make that good confession and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Ask the church to pray with you and for you that your sins be forgiven. You can do that tonight. Now, brother, I want to tell you something. I want to say something else before I finish preaching. It's not big things going to send folks to hell. It's not going to be robbing banks. Mass murder. Not going to be none of those. It's going to be a lot of little things that you think God don't look the other way. A lot of little things that you think folks haven't noticed. That's right. But you know something? God don't forget sin. If you got something in your life that's going to give you trouble at the end, come on up front while we sing. Brother Wright.